Well, everyone, it is a new year. We've got some new branding. The studio looks a little bit different. I call it the studio, my office. we've got a sofa now. Nice little sofa.
Do you remember when we first started and we had the smallest sofa?
Had like a tiny little sofa. If you're like an OG and you were here from the very first episode, you'll remember that little sofa.
How did we fit on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tiny. It's in my living room now.
Two like 6 foot guys just sitting on this smallest sofa.
But now this is a big sofa.
I like it.
So we're leveling up. I don't know if you've seen all the new Racecast branding that I imagine will be out for this episode.
Oh yeah. I think for this episode, yeah.
So yeah, we're leveling up. We're starting to look professional. I've designed all the previous stuff and granted, it looked a bit bad. But it fit a purpose. And so, yeah, we're back for the new year. I'm not sure when we're officially starting again.
We haven't decided, have we?
We're obviously going to be here for the start of the season. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we will keep you updated as to when we are officially back. And you can also follow all the latest news. We're constantly posting all the latest things that are going on in the F1 world. So, yeah, you should follow us for that reason alone. But anyway, you know, listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you can listen to podcasts. We will be there. Make sure you give us 5 stars if you do. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, give us a like, comment, subscribe, get involved. And I'm not going to bore you anymore. We are going to crack on because a lot has been going on and we need to catch up.
All right, guys, welcome along to season 2. Season 2 already.
Well, Kind of. We're still like in between, but
do we say pre-season 2?
This is like a pre-season analysis.
Okay,
I think.
Fine. Okay, we're close to season 2.
We're 1.5.
1.5. But welcome along. I hope you guys are all good. We have a lot to talk about, but firstly, Luke, you got back from New York this morning. How are you feeling? How was it?
I landed at 5:40 this morning. So, which is weird because it was a night flight, but it kind of also wasn't a night flight for me because I took off from New York at 6 p.m.
Aren't they like 5 hours behind or something?
Yeah. So like I landed technically at like, 11:40 in the evening. So it was weird. But then, yeah, I got home and went straight to bed. But it was good. New York's good. I mean, I went last year and then back. I went in summer last time. Now, I actually recommend summer more because you are out walking about so much. And I just think summer is a little bit more vibey there.
See, I love the winter simply because it's NFL.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
I'm an American football fan. So for me, yeah, I loved going in the winter.
But yeah, very nice place. Glad to be back. You've just been to Dubai.
I went to Dubai.
That jet set is all paid for by Racecast. No, I'm kidding. Seriously, I'm kidding. This thing costs us a fortune.
It's so sad.
Sofas don't pay for themselves, you know what I mean? How much did we make last season?
I think it was like 16 quid.
Levels. There are levels
that
to
pay
this
for
game.
Delivery.
And that pays Dan, our editor.
Yeah, which actually, yeah, kind of.
Well, I don't think we can withdraw the AdSense until we hit a certain amount.
Isn't it like 60 quid or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So we need you guys to share us, all right? Get us out there. We appreciate it.
It's not just about the money.
No, it's not.
We're not money grabbers.
No.
We'll donate it all to charity. The Martin Foundation.
But no, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. As I said, I do like the sofa. I think, you know, also, like you said, we're leveling up. We're doing things a bit different.
Yeah.
New branding, and it's exciting.
Shall I explain, really? The main reason for getting this sofa was to make, as I said, we're in my office, so we want to put a TV on the wall behind us. If you're listening, I'm pointing to the wall in front of us, not behind us. I don't know why I said that. So behind the cameras, there is a wall, and we want to get a TV up there so we can do some live streaming for races, essentially. Whether we do that on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, that is the plan for the season, to get a few live streams in. So do stick around if you are into that thing. I know a lot of people don't necessarily like listening to Sky commentary. And obviously we've had a bit of a shake up there, which we will talk about. But yeah, that is the main purpose of the sofa. So we can sit, watch F1, basically.
And I think, you know, we learned a lot last year from our content we produced. We knew what worked for us, what we didn't want to do, what we did want to do. And we do want to do streams. And I know we've said that before, but we actually generally want to do it.
I think it would be fun because essentially it would be like sitting down. I don't know about you guys. I mean, obviously we all watch the F1 every weekend it's on. But sometimes if you're watching it on your own, you know, it's still great you're watching a race, but like if it's maybe a bit of a dull race,
yeah.
Or even if it's exciting, you want to get excited with people, or if it's a bit dull, you know, you just want to have some sort of entertainment going on at the same time. And that's the idea of the live streams, where we can sort of all group together and watch the podcast.
Because what we did the Insta Live, didn't we?
Watch the podcast, watch the race. I'm in a bad way today.
But we did the Insta Live for the Japanese qualifying, I think. And that was great fun.
That was very early as well.
It was very early, but it was good fun. I really enjoyed it. We got to interact with a lot of you all over the world, which was just mad. Obviously, for Luke, it's a norm because he's obviously come from a successful podcast. But
I wouldn't say it's the norm.
Well, no, but you have fans across the world. Me, I'm lucky if I have it outside Seaford.
I don't think you have any in Seaford, to be honest.
I went straight into that. Well, my mum listens, my dad. But that was cool. I really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, we have done rebranding. It looks so much better than what we had last season. And I'm excited. I'm excited of what the content we're going to do. I'm excited for the set. We got new paintings, which, granted, I kind of forgot to get the frames for, but I will get the frames, so they'll be up soon. But it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying it. But shall we get on to some F1 news?
Yes. There is a lot. When was the last podcast?
1st of January it came out. So a month.
We did one on the 1st of Jan, did we?
It was released on the 1st of Jan. We did one literally just before New Year's.
It was December we missed, wasn't it? Because yeah, you had COVID.
And then you had a cold.
It was more than a cold. I was more ill with whatever I had than you were.
True. Actually, before we get on to talk about F1, we must touch on a subject which I'm getting a lot of questions about. Ooh. And that is my tattoo. So if you don't know, if you're brand new, I might have lost I did lose a bet. I bet that Latifi wouldn't get any points last season. He
only went and did it.
Yeah, well, on a 75% race. However,
points are points.
I let him have it. That's absolutely fine. But I haven't got it yet. And I do need to decide. Not
for any reason. It's not like a refusal thing. It's just logistically we need to get it sorted.
Yeah. So I will get it done. I'm a man of my word. I did say I would do it. I will get it done. It's hard to know what I want to get done because all your suggestions were, oh, why don't you get a picture of Latifi on you? I'm not going to get a picture of Latifi on me, okay? I'm not going to get him it's just not going to happen.
You could get his face tattooed onto yours so people just think you're him.
Yeah, I mean, I could do, but I'm not going to. I like the idea maybe of like an outline of a racetrack or something. That's something quite simple. I don't mind that.
The problem is, I think it has to be Latifi related.
Yeah, but
otherwise, the bet just doesn't seem authentic.
But what are you?
Okay. It feels like an excuse for you to just get a nice little F1 tattoo.
Whereas, I said I'd get an F1 tattoo.
Whereas what this needs to be is actually punishment for mocking this poor man.
No,
whole season.
What?
And he actually made you look like a right knob by getting some points, and you have to pay the price for it.
Okay, answer me this then. When I agreed to this, I said the punishment, considering I don't have any tattoos, I said I would get a tattoo. That's the punishment. It doesn't necessarily have to be Latifi related.
I just think, look, we're going to ask you guys, what would you prefer? Do you think it should be...
Oh, no, that's just stupid.
Do you think it should be Latifi related? I think it should be. I think if you're going to get a tattoo based on the fact or based on whether a man gets points or not, it's got to be related to him.
Yeah, and I said it would be an F1 related tattoo, so I have no issue with that.
Yeah, but if you
it's
were to
like
get
I'm
like...
It's not like I'm going to get like you know, a lion or something, is it? Or a goat. I could get a goat.
You could get like Latifi with like one of those goat shadows. So it could be like a little outline of Latifi and then like a shadow of a goat. But we do it. This will happen. So if you have been following us for the long game, then then we're not going to let you down. Matt will get the tattoo. Yeah. I just personally think it should be Latifi related because Nicholas Latifi is the reason that you've got to get a tattoo.
Yeah. Okay, if there's a decent one and it looks relatively smart, I'll get it. But I'm not just going to have like a picture of Latifi's face on my body or the name Latifi on my body because that's just ridiculous. I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
Because I said I'd get it done. I have no issue with getting an F1 related tattoo, but I do not want a picture of Latifi on me or a picture of a goat and then it says Efi. You know,
that works.
Well, it looks stupid. Anyway, comment down below. They're going to side with you on this. I know for a fact they're going to go. You could do a poll and they'd all be in favour of you. I know this for sure.
Rightly so, by the way.
Yeah. Since we've been off, I have had a lot of stick on TikTok.
I did want us to discuss this.
I mean, I got a lot of stick.
So it's funny, right? You probably know, for pretty much the whole duration of this podcast, I've always said TikTok comments are losers, basically. Because typically it's a very toxic place. So like Matt will put, I don't have TikTok, right? So Matt will put these things out and then he'll be like, "Oh, you're getting smoked in the comments, mate." And I'm like, I don't care. They're all stupid. Right. And then, so eventually Matt puts this one out and the tables have turned. Matt is getting roasted. First thing he says, "Do you think I should delete it?" I've got proof.
Yeah, okay.
I can pull up the messages, so do not deny this. I was like, you bitch.
Yeah, I didn't know, did I?
All these times, right, that I get all this stick, and then he does one where he gets some, and instantly he's like, I think I've got to take it down, mate.
Yeah, okay. The ones you got stick for, you had like 70,000 views, right? This has got like near enough 300,000 views.
What are they saying? Can we read out some of the comments?
I can't get on it because it's not on the phone.
You stupid, stupid man. But for context, it is the one...
about Alonso. So we said, okay, if you win... if you... every race, okay, you lead the whole race and then you break down on the last lap and you don't finish. Does that make you the best driver? That's what we discussed.
Yeah, and you said that that wouldn't make you the best driver of the season because you've got nothing to show for it. Yeah. Whereas I argued, well, I personally do think that would make you the best driver. You've just been very unlucky.
Yes, but I think what...
backtrack now.
No, I'm not backtracking. What the issue was, a lot of people took it out of context because we were saying about Alonso. So a lot of people were saying, well, Alonso is one of the best. He's been around for years. And that's not what we were saying.
See what I mean when I say the people that comment are stupid.
So I can get it because I've got it. I've got some. Some people said, are you high?
Potentially.
So I agree, you can't be the best driver if you didn't finish a race. He'd be the most unluckiest driver of that.
I agree with that. He definitely would be the most unlucky driver.
Yeah.
But he would also be the best driver that season.
So somebody said, but if they're out of control of the reason that they are not performing, surely you can't say they're not the best. The driver who wins each race would be the most successful driver, but if Nando is sitting the fastest lap and leading every lap, then surely he is the best.
And that would be my argument.
Somebody said, how are people agreeing? Ralph said, what did I just watch? Ricky said, definitely not. Got to think about car management. Is he pushing the car too hard and braking them? Could be a mechanical brake. Could be driver not looking after the car.
Now, that's an interesting take, that one, actually. Yeah. I quite like that.
I like that.
Thinking outside the box, you see. Yeah. I take that back. There are some intelligent people.
This is on Instagram,
people.
Though.
Nope, TikTok is stupid.
Jack said...
see my point?
Jack said, bro on the right is definitely a drive to survive newbie.
Yeah, he is. He loves it.
He would be the best driver of the season because he did the best performance. Okay. No driver can drive and build a car at the same time.
This is the thing, you know, like... Do we look back at history... and do we just give stat padders all the credit?
Bro on the right skipped school.
See, they're not too bad. They're like, I'm guessing TikTok was a lot more aggressive.
It's 73 likes.
Yeah, but like the comments on Instagram are typically A, like funnier, B, a lot more intelligent, but TikTok tends to be a lot more aggressive and a bit more cutthroat.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wonder if you can... Oh, actually, you can get it.
How many views has it actually got on TikTok?
312,000 views.
Is it our most viewed one?
No, our most viewed one is near enough 700K. Here we go. I've got the comments on TikTok. Okay, some of the comments on TikTok. Yes, absolutely does. If you disagree, it shows the kind of person you are. Podiums, wins, etc. does not count when the best driver is in discussion. Okay.
Wait, what's their point there? I don't even understand.
No idea. Alonso is a definition of stats, not showing the full picture. Again, we used Alonso as a...
It could have been anyone,
yeah. This is the difference between fans. They can't see beyond the numbers and people who watch the races properly.
See, and that was my point, what I was saying about stat padders. Do we just look back and look at people that get the stats? And then do underrated drivers, or maybe drivers become underrated by going under the radar because stuff like this happens?
Yeah,
and I know this would never happen in real life. It would never happen where someone is leading every single race and their car breaks down on the last lap. But
I agree with you in a sense of it would make you a great driver. But what I meant back then was, if you're looking back at the record books, okay, and going, okay, look at these people who won like 5, 6, 7 titles. Are you ever going to remember the guy who finished? Who led every race.
So does that mean you're saying Max Verstappen was better than Lewis Hamilton last season? Season before, 2021?
No, because Lewis was still finishing races and winning races.
So he surely must have been the best driver.
Yes, when it's manipulated.
There you go.
But what I'm saying is, what we discussed
was... How long was that? Was it 10 minutes until we mentioned Abu Dhabi? 17.
Look, Rafa said, bro on the right is clueless. The guy in black clearly doesn't know F1 if he doesn't think that the scenario Fernando is the dots. Again, we weren't talking about Fernando. We used him as an example.
He was. I think it was personal.
Bro doesn't know what he's talking about. There are two types of sports fans. One, fans who need statistics and trophies as their only metric. Two, fans who have a higher IQ.
Yeah, thank you. That's got to be kind of a compliment to me because I was fighting on... the opposite side of you, which means I've got the IQ and you're the stupid one.
Guy on the right is exactly how every Hamilton fan thinks.
Is a Hamilton fan though, so he called it pretty well, to be fair.
So basically, if Latifi was last all race, but there was 19 engine blowouts and he won, he was the best driver.
Yep. That is exactly what Matt said, to be fair. That is your point in reverse.
To be fair though, he's won every race. He kept his car going to the end.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've got kind of a point.
I did comment back to it, so that's what the record books would show.
What did they say? This is the problem, right? Matt then comments and people think...
Which would definitely not be true, so books are just books.
Books are just books? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Well, not only that, winning is not only best driving...
People think it's me rising into these comments. It's never me. I've learned, right? Don't rise to the comments. Just very rarely will I, like... ever reply to someone.
I think the guy on the right is not quite there.
That is completely accurate.
Yeah.
Have we got any F1 news now?
Oh yeah, do you want to get on F1 news? Yeah, sorry.
I think we got the general gist of that is Matt is stupid and there was a terrible point that you were making and basically 99% of people agreed with the normal side, aka me.
Okay. All right, I do a public apology. I'm sorry for what I said.
Why? Stand by it.
Well, you just told me that everyone's agreed that I sounded like an idiot then. So...
Yeah, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to back yourself.
Yeah, I fucking own it, all right?
You were just about to apologise to everyone.
Yeah, okay. New year, new me. Right, shall we get on some F1 news?
Yes.
So, the Race of Champions Nations Cup. Did you see any of this?
No.
So, this was where Mick Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel were all involved.
I did.
And actually... it was pretty decent. Mick actually finished runner-up. So he beat the likes of Vettel, Hakkinen, David Coulthard, Bottas.
I mean, that's a bit unfair, isn't it?
What?
Well, like racing Mika Häkkinen. How old is he now?
Yeah, no, okay.
But David still... Coulthard.
Okay, so you still got Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, true.
Who he beat. He's got Bottas, who still races.
Yeah, that is true.
And Häkkinen is a former world champion. So it's...
Yeah. But that's not... He's still old now, isn't he?
No, okay. Regardless of that, for Mick, this is real positive.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, after losing your seat, right, in losing your seat in a Haas as well, that's got to be pretty hard to take.
Yep.
This sort of thing, it will be good for his confidence. And now he's had like two confidence boosts in a row. He's got the Mercedes reserve driver seat, which I would argue is in some way a step up from that Haas seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, as it like being Haas number one.
So you're saying Mercedes are better than Haas, yeah.
No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying
Thanks,
is
Sherlock.
Because obviously he's gone to reserve driver.
Yeah.
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 But I'm saying I still think that's a step up in his career.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Well, because I think, like we touched on before, yes, okay, he's not going to be racing week in, week out. But the benefit from this experience he's going to get now is he's driving for a top team like Mercedes, phenomenal team principal, and he's actually driving alongside a seven-time world champion, and he's got George Russell, who is a phenomenal driver as well. So, you know, and he's still very young. He's very young. He can help nurture and, you know, Mick going into his career. So I agree with you. He's going to obviously miss out from the race experience.
Yeah, obviously.
But he's going to a team where he's got so much experience he can learn from.
As a driver, you might always look at it and be like, oh, you know, I should be racing. But I do think, yeah, in some way, this is a step forward in his career, which I don't necessarily think he deserved.
Why not?
I'm not sure he did enough to... And I know a lot of you might disagree. You might be like, how is this a step up? He's now a reserve driver. But I'm looking at it in terms of career progression. I agree, it might look like a step back because he's now not racing every week. But he's clearly well-respected by a big team. He's gone there. And it's just a foot in the door, isn't it?
Yeah. He's lucky that he's still in F1. Because he could have gone either way. He could have gone... and stayed in F1, or he could have lost his seat, nothing.
And I'll use this, like, I know you love my football analogies, but this is the best way to do it. Like,
How are you feeling after yesterday?
I don't watch football anymore. would you rather be a first team player at Norwich, or would you rather be on the bench of Manchester United? And that's the way I'm sort of looking at it here. I'm saying, well, you know, this, in some way, it could be career progression for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't necessarily think he deserved it. I don't think last season he showed, or in the last two, he showed that he deserves a place at a team like Mercedes. And I don't think that's unfair to say. That doesn't mean I'm happy for him. And I do think it's quite cool.
Mm.
But yeah, do I think he deserved it on paper? Probably not. But I do think he can take the opportunity. And I definitely think he has the potential to make it work.
Yeah.
So like I'm not writing him off at all. I just don't think he's shown us that he was entitled to that position.
No. I think it is a perfect opportunity for him to show us now what he can do.
It's a lifeline.
100%. Because as far as I'm concerned, I wasn't expecting him to get anything in F1. So the fact that he's still in F1 for him, he must be buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is he, you know, still got a seat in F1, he's got a seat at one of the top teams.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm excited to see what he can do. With regards to, does he deserve it? I mean, I suppose you could argue, does Danny Rick deserve a seat in a third team? I know he's been around a lot longer and he's experienced, but after his performances over the last few years, does he deserve a seat in a Red Bull, you know, a championship winning team? So I don't know. I'm excited for Mick. I'm excited to see what he can do. Obviously, being Mercedes fans, it's great because you've got Lewis Hamilton, you know, you've got George Russell, you've got Mick Schumacher, you know, you've got a lot of youngsters there, and you've got a very experienced team principal and a very experienced world champion there. Well, 7-time world champion. So it's exciting. I think it's good. I do think it's good. But this weekend, he looked like he just had a great fun, and it was really nice to see.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah. Seb looked like he had great fun. Like, it was good. I watched some highlights of it. It on a whole,
I saw the thing of, I don't really know how it worked or whatever, but Bottas was driving and he jump started because he went when the lights went out.
And then But when you look at Seb, for example, in the first, I can't remember if it was the first round or something, Seb was 10 seconds slower than Mick. So Mick showed he was on it this weekend. He was on it this weekend.
Yeah.
And to finish runner up, you know, fair play to him.
Who won it then?
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go.
He wasn't an F1 driver.
We have all the knowledge.
Well, I told you he was runner up, so it's all good. So well done to you, Mick. Well done. In other news, the 2023 season, it has been confirmed that China will not be replaced. Yeah. So it is going to be a 23 race season, which
I think is good for those involved in F1, right? Yeah. In terms of a schedule, 24 races in a year, and bear in mind, it's not a year because they have X amount of months off, you know, over this Christmas period, you've got the summer break. That is an intense workload for that amount of time. And, you know, I feel less sympathy for the drivers. They're on huge wages. Mm. But, you know, all the mechanics that go around with them. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. That being said, as fans,
we want to see
the more races, the better. I like China, the track. I think it's sick.
I have missed it, to be honest. We love racing it on F1.
Yeah, we do. Don't like the pit entry.
How many times did you crash in that?
Every time. But, yeah, so it is a shame. And especially now, because it sort of looks like, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but like it looks like China's like reopening and everything. So, yeah, I can understand why it's happened. I was expecting them to replace it, though, not going to lie.
No. I think the longer it went on, I was thinking to myself, it's not going to be replaced, because it's one of those, isn't it? You know, when something happens, they kind of got like a contingency plan in place, but
yeah,
it went on and on, and I was just kind of thinking.
I felt that they've pushed so hard to sort of increase the amount of races. Yeah. You know, it seems to constantly be going up. I just thought they'd be like, no, we got to cram one in there.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping over next couple of seasons we'll see China back. It is a fun race. We've had some classic races there, and I'm hoping it comes back.
I think we'll see it next year.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if we don't.
So, yeah, it's going to be a 23 race season. Again, still not massively disappointed. I think that's a good amount of races from a fan's point of view. I think it's...
That is a lot of races.
It's a lot of races. It's good. We're starting off in Bahrain, beginning of March, then going to Saudi Arabia. I have to say, I love Saudi Arabia's track.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think it's cool. Have we got an official date? I know there is a date, but can you give the official date for when the season starts? Because I know we've got Bahrain pre-season testing the weekend before.
Yeah, so the actual first race of the season is the weekend of the 3rd of March.
So be there or be square.
And then obviously we've got Saudi Arabia on the weekend of the 17th of March.
And we'll talk a little bit about testing
after
we cover the news.
Yes.
Because we need to make our predictions. So I think we're going to be doing that for this season.
We might have to do a separate one for this.
No, we're going to do it in this one. And then what we're going to do is after pre-season testing, we're going to give ourselves the opportunity to change those predictions.
Okay.
And then they're locked in for the season.
Yeah, because testing is the 23rd to 25th of February.
Yes.
And then, yeah, then we get cracking. And... What's your track you're looking forward to the most this year?
Ooh. I don't really know, to be honest. I always love a Brazil race.
I'm with you on that one.
There's something about that track. Obviously, we've got Las Vegas this year. I think I'm really excited to... The thing is
It's a Saturday race.
Yeah, which is weird. We have spoken about the actual track. I personally don't think the track looks incredible. I'm excited for the event.
Yeah.
Which I know is probably like, that kind of epitomizes like American sport in general. Mm. I don't know if you've ever been to like a basketball game or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes of bouncing a ball and then like 30 minutes of like dances and different shows in between.
But it's all a show. Yeah. All American sport is all about a show.
But I'm quite excited about that. I think the race will be interesting. I just don't see much action happening on that track personally. And I really hope I'm wrong.
Do you think like 10 laps in, they're going to stop and all of a sudden an artist is going to come out and do
like it genuinely wouldn't surprise me. Lap 10, they pause and Katy Perry comes out to drop a little midway performance. That's just the most American thing.
I don't think I could get mad at that though. I think that'd be quite funny.
I'd honestly expect it.
Yeah. NSYNC come out. Something like
NSYNC. That's how you know Matt is well old. If the grey beard didn't give it away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I guess Vegas, you know, a new track. You can't not be excited about that.
Do you know what I'm most excited for?
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a bizarre one, but I love the track, Qatar.
That is a bit of a weird one.
It is a bizarre one.
Why?
I love the fast pace of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't get me wrong, it's not the most exciting race. I love Brazil, you know, but from a newish track coming back, because obviously we didn't have Qatar track last year because of the World Cup.
Yeah.
But obviously we had it the year before where I just love the pace and obviously the wind, you know, how quick it was, the fast pace of it.
Weird, because a lot of the new tracks go down terribly.
Yeah, I don't, I liked it.
I think everyone is entitled to, Bahrain is one of my favourite tracks, and that is, compared to the history of tracks, it's relatively new. But yeah, Qatar didn't even really cross my mind.
No, I think, you know, I love Canada. I love places like Brazil. Monza is one of my favourite.
Yeah, obviously all the classics.
But from going into the new season, ones I'm excited to see again is, I don't know. I just remember Qatar being, obviously Lewis won. This was when they was going into the title thing, but not about what him winning. But you know, you had Max starting back in like P7 or something. He had a penalty literally after lap one. He was in P3. Then he was chasing down Hamilton. You know,
Max's ability to jump cars when he's starting like far back is.
Yeah.
Unbelievably infuriating.
And it's a night race. The cars look sick going through. I don't know. I just enjoyed the race.
I also want to talk about the looks of cars in this podcast as well.
Okay, fine. We got a lot to talk about. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Right, so Charles Leclerc has been told by Ferrari's new boss that he won't receive preferential treatment over Carlos Sainz this season. Fasora said it is a clear situation. We have two very good drivers and they are both able to do the job. We will have the capacity to provide them with exactly the same car, structure and support. The target is to win with Ferrari and for Ferrari, and there will be no number one and number two. But if at one stage we have to take action, I will take action, and it doesn't matter if it's for one driver or the other. Do you know what I love about this? And I'm going to take back everything what I said about Fasseur last year. He has said in this, and I fully believe him, that he is now in control of his team in the sense of, this is my team.
It's a stamp of authority, that, isn't it?
It's my way. You follow what I want or you get out.
Yeah.
Not that he's saying that get out, but he's saying, this is my team. I'm the team principal. This is what we're going to do.
I like that as well. I think it's so easy to look at a team and be like, he's the number one, he's the number two. But until the season starts, you really don't know. You know, who would have thought last season George Russell would outscore Lewis Hamilton?
Mm.
Well, does that not technically make George Russell the number one?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But so I think until the season starts, there does come a point where you have to be like, right, in if you're going for championships, there does come a point where you're like, right, you know, we're going to have to give preferential treatment to driver A because they're just in a better position.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to do that. But I think I hate when it happens at the start of a season and it's like, they're getting it just because, oh, it's Charles Leclerc. You know, he's Ferrari's poster boy.
He's been a Ferrari for a long time.
You know, of course he's going to be number one. I don't like that.
No.
I just, you know, it's not... It also, because the two of them are... It is a lot closer in terms of ability than maybe Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez.
Yeah.
So that you sort of understand.
Who's going to be number one at Red Bull?
Yeah, I wonder. but I get that because Max is so far superior.
Yeah.
But I think even so, you still got to give it a couple of races. And for whatever reason, next season, Checo could come out and he might be a second a lap quicker than Max. You just don't know.
No, yeah.
You don't know how they're going to perform. He might just have a freak season where he's just a monster. So if you're going into the season as a boss, in your head, you're like, right, he's my number one, he's my number two, then I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, maybe that even happened at Mercedes. I like to think they went into the season with Lewis and Bottas, always thinking it's fair game. And then...
I can never imagine, being a Mercedes fan, I can never imagine they thought they're both equal. I you know, part of me wants to believe it is, but I always believed Lewis was always the number one driver.
Yeah.
100%.
But that's because it's hard to argue with the championships, isn't it?
It is, but even with that, Bottas, you always knew was the second driver, right from the beginning of the season. They were always preferential treatment was always going to go to Lewis.
But then does that then go back to, I guess, my other argument of when one driver is significantly better, you instantly give them the preferential treatment based on common sense?
Yeah. I think it's hard. I think certain teams know who their number one driver is. And I think, you know, Red Bull know who their number one driver is. They know who they're going
for.
The wages
tend to...
They tend to
reveal that, don't they?
But I really like what Fasseur has said here. You know, he's got his stamp of authority. This is my team. This is how we're doing it. You know, he's pretty much... I think Leclerc has a lot of resentment from last year with how Ferrari and, you know, himself lost their championship because they had a phenomenal car. So Leclerc coming into this season, he has a lot to prove. But now he's kind of been taken a peg down and gone, hang on, you're both equal. You both have an equal car. This is how it's going to be.
Which I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think Leclerc is a great driver. And I personally don't really remember any time that he's shown arrogance or whatever, this sort of like superiority complex.
No.
But it's important that he also doesn't end up like that.
No.
So he needs someone like this who is going to say, you're both equal. Because it is very easy to think you're number one.
Yeah.
When you are someone like Charles Leclerc, in that environment where you are the poster boy, you're product of Ferrari, the heir to Michael Schumacher maybe is how like they viewed everything with him. And you see how loved he is by all the fans. But yeah, so I think it's important that he is checked in place until maybe he has a couple of championships under his belt.
Yeah, I think it's good. And I think it shows Carlos Sainz as well.
Shows he's getting the respect that he deserves.
Yeah, and I think it's really good. I think for Sainz going into this, because I can imagine, you know, and you can tell by the fans, everyone loves Leclerc. Sainz last year didn't always get the support from the Ferrari fans. It's fair to say.
Do you think it's because Leclerc's so good looking as well? I feel like that helps.
Yeah, but Carlos Sainz isn't like a...
No, he's not a bad looking guy at all.
I mean, if I look like either one of those, I'd be happy in life. Look at me. I've got a ginger and grey beard. Do you think...
What's wrong with ginger? Why do you have to bring that?
Well, no, I got a mixture of ginger, grey.
I just think, you know, Charles Leclerc gets the girls as well.
Yeah.
So do you think that's why... Do you think that has an effect? Because he is such a good looking guy. I feel like it does.
Yeah, well... What, so you're saying, like, the sex appeal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not even just from a female fan perspective. Like, I feel like that just generally gives him...
I just think he's very down-to-earth and a lot of people not relate to him, but they kind of just...
Yeah, which is strange because how can you relate to someone that literally... grew up in Monaco.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he's always been like a fan favourite, whether that's through looks or whether that's through his talent, whether I don't know.
No, and I'm not saying it's purely looks. I'm just saying, do you think it's because he has got the complete package? He's a great driver.
Yeah.
He's
like the David Beckham of F1.
Yeah, he appears to be like a really nice guy. He's good looking. It's just like he ticks all these boxes, and I think that's why he is, you know, the poster boy and whatnot, because he's the perfect candidate.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I can see him. On a whole, I like what they're doing at Ferrari. I'm actually quite excited to see how they do this year.
I don't know how true this is. Speculation time. Source, Twitter. So take from it what you will. Ferrari apparently seem to believe they've found a second this season.
I did read that.
In development.
Which, if true...
is an incredible amount of time.
Is also scary.
Yeah, I mean, that will... I'm pretty sure that would put them ahead of Red Bull. Fairly comfortably. Assuming Red Bull haven't found... Yeah. Let's assume Red Bull found no time.
Red Bull have found 4 seconds.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. And it's all in Max's right foot. That is what I've heard. Ferrari are seemingly very happy with their car. Also was reading about the amount of horsepower, extra horsepower teams have found. I'm not sure if this was over the development of last season or if it is this mid-season, pre-season development. Ferrari have found an extra 30 brake horsepower. I think Mercedes found 15, Red Bull found 10, because Alpine were complaining because they haven't found any. And they were saying, like, how are these teams finding? I think it was from overdevelopment of last season. They were sort of saying, how are teams finding this brake horsepower? Because obviously there's the engine freeze, but you can still do things to it. I'm just not sure what it is you can do.
You can change certain aspects of the engine, but you can't change... Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'm not an engineer.
It's a bit complicated now, but we won't go into that.
Well, complicated for this type of podcast.
Yeah, we're not brainiacs.
If you listened earlier on, I'm clueless.
So Alpine, you know, are they worried? If Ferrari managed to find 30 horsepower, Mercedes 15, Red Bull 10, is that gap going to extend? You know, between those front runners and Alpine, who were sort of really close at times.
I'm expecting it to be Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull this year.
But after what, because I'm a sucker for rumours, right? Obviously, if you watch last season, every week I was like, Mercedes are bringing upgrades this week, and apparently it's giving us like 4 seconds, which never happened. But if Ferrari have found a second, they are going to be very quick.
Yeah. No, I think... But where have you found that from? That's where it's going to be interesting. Pre-season testing is going to be so key.
Yeah, I am excited. I know before pre-season testing, should we just fill everyone in on the dates of the release of the cars?
Yes, okay. Well, we're going further down my list, but that's fine. We'll do that now. So the 2023 launch date. So Haas on the 31st of January, which is tomorrow, actually. Actually, it'll be out by the time this podcast goes out.
Oh, so if you saw on Instagram the other day, I did a little post of a black Haas. Like, it was a concept livery designed by someone on Instagram. I think they should go back to black.
See, I like the white.
That car that I posted looked quality.
It did look sick. It did look sick. I'm just hoping Mercedes go back to black. That's what I'm hoping.
That makes the car quick.
It does. Yeah.
That is a fact.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Red Bull are releasing theirs on the 3rd of February. That's in New York, I believe.
Which I read about that, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
You could have been there.
If I was there like a week later, I don't know how you go and get involved.
Let me in, guys.
But I would have been like, I would have tried to like get him.
Oh, yeah, there's not many people who are trying to get to that. But Luke walks along. Excuse me, do you mind if I just... come in. Yeah, sure.
Don't let me in.
Yeah, sure.
I've got a Red Bull hat somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I didn't know what the deal was, how they were showing it off. I was going to look into it and be like, okay, look, I wonder if there is a way I can
get in. Yeah, Williams releases on the 6th of February. Alfa Romeo 7th of February, AlphaTauri 11th of February, Aston Martin 13th of February. McLaren is also on the same day, 13th of February. So if you are an F1 journalist or whatever, you must have a nightmare because you've got to deal with Aston Martin and McLaren.
You've got to be in two places at once.
Yes. Which one would you rather go to, McLaren or Aston Martin?
McLaren, to be honest.
Yeah, fair. Ferrari on the 14th of February.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercedes missed a trick here. Right, so you got the W14, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're releasing it on February the 15th.
Yeah, but didn't Ferrari announce their date before?
But if you know, you could...
Valentine's Day as well.
Well done. Thank you very much, yep. See, that's probably what they're going to do it. They've probably got pictures of Leclerc all over. Win a date with Leclerc or something.
Sign me up.
Alpine are finally the last team on the 16th of February. So it all starts tomorrow. Well... yesterday, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, and let us know what you think of the Haas in the comments. Obviously, we haven't seen it because at the time of recording, it's not out. But when this goes out, it will be there. So how do you think it looks? Because obviously, when teams reveal their car at this stage, you don't necessarily see all the physical changes that they've actually made to the car.
You literally just see the livery, the design. So,
you know, the pre-season testing is where we're going to see...
Our preseason testing is going to...
We're going to see the changes that have been made.
Usually get to see... I mean, what did we see last year? No side pods for Mercedes.
Yeah, but that was because at Barcelona, they did have... Obviously, last year we had Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
We don't have that this season. So you had side pods at Barcelona and the car was a disaster. And then, obviously you came to Bahrain and we had no side pods and everyone was like, fuck me, this thing's a fighter jet.
And then Luke, when he read all the rumours, was like, mate, we're in for a treat this year. This Mercedes is going to be sick. And then it turned out a piece of junk.
It sucked.
It was awful.
And even to be fair, I was like, sandbagging.
Yeah.
And then first race came, I was like, nah, they're still just still sandbagging.
Well, Hamilton's still got P3.
Yeah, because of like two Red Bulls, a double DNF. Yeah.
Mate, doesn't matter. If you don't finish the race, you're not the best driver.
It's true.
I still can't believe I got all that hate. Anyway, let's move on. So it has been announced that Johnny Herbert and Paul de Resta have been axed from Sky Sports.
See, and there's proof that energies always balance out. You know, we had a negative piece of news, but then a piece of positive news.
Do you know what? The reaction to this tweet, there's a tweet about this. Has over 2 million views and it's rising, apparently.
And it's rising.
And was that of outright joy with gifs of Kylian Mbappe knee sliding across the pitch for to friends Chandler Bing dancing, literally as they found out that Paul de Resta was not coming back.
Yeah. Now, not a personal issue. I had a bit of an issue with Paul de Resta. I personally just... I just don't really, you know, like when you're watching someone, right?
Yeah.
You have to feel like you like them.
Yeah.
And I just didn't. Now, there's no reason. It's not personal. You know, if I saw him in the street, I wouldn't throw tomatoes at him or whatever. But I personally did not enjoy when he was on race days. And this is not, I was reading a tweet actually the other day about like we should normalize pundits and whoever having favorites.
Yeah.
Now I completely agree with that. I think that should be, I hate all this neutrality bollocks. Like just say if you're a Ferrari fan, say like, oh, I really want Leclerc to win. That is fine. What I don't like is bias in this thing. And I felt like sometimes you got that from Paul de Resta.
Yeah. And I think, we said a lot. It was against the likes of Lewis.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because I'm a Lewis fan, but it got to a point where it was like so evident.
Yeah.
Like it was interesting how bad it was. You know, it's, and I like Karim Chanrock. I think he...
what do you call it?
Karim Chan...
Karun.
Karim.
Karun. K-A-R-U-N. Karun.
Karun Chanwook.
Chandok.
Chandok. Okay. And him. I swear I was right.
No.
Okay. I butcher that. Thanks. I think he's good. Naomi... I can't say her last name.
Naomi Schiff.
Schiff. I think she's been great. Jensen Button.
I like her also because she upsets Gammon Twitter. You know, like all the old boys that are like, why is she on?
Yeah, but I think she's been great. I think her knowledge is second to none.
I think she was like a breath of fresh air to the punditry squad.
No, I agree. I think that when you listen to her, she... is very in-depth. She, you know, is not afraid to say what she thinks about certain situations. Mm. I think, yeah, like you say, a breath of fresh air. I really like her. Jensen Button, I like.
Yeah, my favourite, Nico Rosberg.
Apparently he's allowed back in the paddock.
Oh, and it's because he hasn't been vaxxed or something.
Yeah, apparently it's been lifted. He's allowed back in the paddock, which for me... Yeah, I like Nico. I think he's good.
He, in my opinion, is the biggest asset to that Sky team because he's someone that could be ultra biased, right? Him and Lewis hated each other, but he never is. He is always straight talking, and that is exactly what I want from all of them. I don't care if they're ripping into someone who deserves to be ripped into. Yeah. It's when like you get these relentless things and it's like they never credit the good things. It's always like, oh, they should have done this or whatever.
Oh, what when you get David Coulthard do like the post-race interviews?
God.
I mean, I agree. I think what you want from a pundit is honesty.
Yeah.
Give us your true opinion. Do you know what I mean? I would actually fully respect someone like Paul de Resta if he turned around and went, do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not a massive fan of Hamilton. I'm not a massive fan of Leclerc or whatever. And just say, look, and this is a reason why, but I respect that they've done this. I don't care about that. I'd be quite happy that if you're honest.
It's literally a sport. Like, you're allowed to not like people. Yeah. And it's not a personal thing. You're not saying, like, I dislike this individual. No. It's, you know, you don't really like them. Like, I don't, for whatever reason, that's fine. It doesn't mean you're going to have to beef them every time you see them.
No.
But, you know, there are drivers that I don't like, but if... for whatever reason, one of them was like, let me come on your podcast.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, or if, you know, it's not like that. And I just think that when you have pundits that are so, like, it's so blatantly obvious that they dislike someone or whatever, and then I just think it affects the punditry. But what I will say in regards to, because Johnny Herbert, hit the sort of loss of him went down terribly.
Mm.
Now, this might cause a bit of a stir. Obviously, he was very likable, and I did love watching him. But in terms of a pundit, I'm not sure if he was a great pundit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
by that?
I get what you mean. I get what you're saying. I think he was good because of his experience he's had, and he can bring to his discussions and the topics. But I agree with you. He's not one which made you go. I think when you want a pundit, you kind of want to delve into what you want to... how am I wording this? When you're listening to someone, like, for example, Nico Rosberg, when you're talking, you can actually really go and you go, oh, wow, yeah.
He captivates.
And, you know, there's certain people like Jensen Button, again, he captivates you because you can listen to him. You're like, okay, do you know what? Yeah, I kind of understand. I get it. Paul de Resta didn't do that. Johnny Herbert, you know, people like Martin Brundle, he captivates when he talks. You kind of like, okay, yeah, I get it. Naomi Schiff, like, again, she's someone else. When you listen to her about her experiences, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I can get it. I can get an understanding of that. But yeah, Johnny Herbert, he's someone who you could go down a pub with and have a good chat
with.
As
like great as he did seem, like, obviously he was. Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking his experience here or anything. Like, I'm just saying, is he a pundit? That's, you know, and I personally think there are better pundits I'm not saying there are many that are more likable than him, because he was very likable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it will be a shame to see him go, but I do think there are better pundits out there.
No,
apologies if that upsets you.
Let us know. Comment down below. What are your thoughts about that? We better move on, because we are talking a lot. And how long have we been talking?
55 minutes.
Wow. So Toto Wolff has explained that his team will negotiate with Hamilton, as they have done in previous seasons, which means fans may have to wait until just before the start of the 2023 season to discover what sort of new deal the driver will be handed.
Have you heard the rumours, though?
That he wants like an 8-year contract or something.
No, well, that is kind of it, but let me explain it.
Okay, explain.
Okay, so how it's looking to work is that he will be on a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Racing, and he wants like a 10-year ambassadorship.
Yeah.
So like he'll be an ambassador for Mercedes for 10 years.
Yeah.
Which that will pay, I believe, $25 million a year, the ambassadorship. His racing contract is expected to be $70 million a year.
I won't get out of bed for it.
It's only 70, like, make it 100 minimum. So yeah, in theory, Lewis Hamilton will be earning £70 million per year for racing, and $25 million per year as an ambassador for Mercedes. Obscene amount of money. It kind of had me questioning it a little bit. Now, I would never put disrespect on Lewis Hamilton's name, but let's look at the facts here. Had a rocky season last season.
Yeah.
We don't truly know, did he not get to grips with the car? We don't know the ins and outs. I, as a fan, like to believe the things that, you know, Lewis was running all the experimental stuff. Yeah. And we know the car wasn't up there. I'm not saying we expected him to win, but he did get outscored by George Russell. You can't deny that. Like I say, there are rumours, or the speculation is that, you know, Lewis was running the experimental stuff. But at face value, Lewis was outscored by George.
Yeah.
When new regs came. He is no spring chicken.
No.
Now, Fernando Alonso shows us that you can continue to race at a very high level. And I mean, Alonso is not even too much older than Hamilton, but he is older. So he shows that you can race, because we rate Alonso highly.
Yeah.
So you can still race at that level. I'm just looking at this. Am I giving Lewis Hamilton more money than Max Verstappen at this point in his career? Now, I'm not too sure I would. And I'm not sure how controversial you lot are going to find that. I just think he's 39. Or is he 38, turning 39 this year? That's, you know, I know we're now in a different era where these, you know, across all sports, these aren't just sportsmen, they're athletes now. Yeah. So that's, in theory, why we've got the longevity. But, you know, Max is very young. He is the hot property. Do I believe that Lewis deserves more money than him? Perhaps not at the moment. I think it's a really, really heavy contract to give.
I think...
That whole thing might sound mental, and I appreciate that. I'm just looking at it from...
But you're also, I think, paying for the name.
And that I completely understand.
I think Toto has always said that actually Lewis will be the one to tell us when he wants to stop racing. You know, Lewis, even Toto has come out when he said, you know, I've said very early on that Lewis will always have a seat with us.
Don't get me mistaken here. I'm not saying Mercedes should go for anyone else. That is...
Latifi?
Yeah. That would be absurd. I'm just saying $70 million a year is a lot of money.
Oh, well, yeah, of course it is.
Like, but... I mean, it's £20 million or whatever currency, $20 million more than Max Verstappen, who is now a 2-time world champion, 2 times in a row.
Yeah.
At the age of, what, 25, is he, 26?
Well, obviously, these are just rumours. We're speculating. Yeah, these aren't actually, you know, and I think that's something to make very clear, is they're not. These are just speculating. So if that is the case, the one thing I want to know, though, is what do you have to do for that money for an ambassador role? Because
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it for 10 mil.
I'd do it for a mil.
All right, 500K.
20K. Hang on, what? No.
That's not worth it.
No. But what I want to know is, do you have to attend some galas? Do you have to sign some shirts?
I imagine it's going to be a very, very easy job.
Yeah.
Again, I think all that is...
Would you do it?
Obviously. All that is they're paying to keep the Hamilton name officially attached to Mercedes for 10 years. Yeah. Which I completely understand it. It will be worth it. I mean, you go on their Twitter, their Instagram. You look at a picture of George Russell that they put up and then a picture of Lewis. Lewis will have like two or three times more likes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that. And they want to keep...
It's his brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you'll always get with them. And I think, football analogy, like Ronaldo, you can send him anywhere.
Of course.
He could be like, he could have one leg he was still going.
I was actually thinking of Ronaldo at that time when I was talking about Lewis getting there. And I was thinking, well, to be fair, Ronaldo has just gone to Al Nassr and he's on like, is it 2 mil a week or something? Like
something ridiculous.
2.5 mil a week, something absurd. And, but I know this is obvious, it's a different sport, but it is a very different sport in that sense where, you know, you've just got two drivers. And I'm talking like Lewis has lost it, which that is absolutely not the case. I just think, yeah, it's a very top-heavy contract.
I think the other way you look at it is, so Lewis is a seven-time world champion. He is...
Eight.
Yeah. He has put a lot of effort into that Mercedes brand and their development and their history. I mean, you look at their legacy, you think Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
So you look at that and...
Well, essentially, he's put them on the map, and I know that. I know, like... Mercedes as an individual team were not.
No, they were never anywhere near what they would be without Hamilton.
No, now
and that's a fact.
Now they're probably considered, you know, one of the greatest teams.
Yeah, in
F1 history.
Yeah. I just think when you're looking at that, you're paying what, you know, this is basically going to be his last big contract. Because realistically, one or two seasons, he's going to be left in the sport. He might go on for a bit longer.
But I don't think he needs to sort of stack up the dollar bills in the bank account.
Okay, but okay.
Planning for retirement.
Yeah, but okay, if you're a driver and you know that actually in 2 years' time you're not going to be in the sport, okay, you would just go, do you know what? Let's go for something big. Let's finish on a high. You're not going to go, oh, do your last contract. Oh, do you know what? I actually will just race for free.
Yeah, but...
You're going to go for your big contract.
No, so look at it this way. Is Lewis Hamilton in 2023 worth more than Lewis Hamilton in 2018?
No, but Lewis Hamilton is coming towards the end of his career and actually
surely that devalues you. That's my point.
Normally it would, but is Cristiano Ronaldo or someone like in that, you know, you look at, for example, Tom Brady, is he earning... when you get older and you're coming to the end of your career and you're still at the top of your game, why wouldn't you just go for a big contract? Why wouldn't you just go
Lewis should go and get as much money as he should. I'm just saying, from a Mercedes perspective, is Lewis Hamilton now worth as much as what he was in 2018? Or more?
Well, I agree with you, he's probably worth less because I would say he's not the same Lewis Hamilton. However, it is Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, no, and it
so
is.
So you're...
If there is anyone that you're going to give this money to, it is Lewis Hamilton.
And he did show, just slightly throughout last year, he still got it.
Well, yeah. I do want to make this clear through this whole segment.
You think he's over, don't you? You think he's past it. Yeah, you think he's down the drain.
That is absolutely not what I'm suggesting. Because I know some of you will get the wrong idea and that is just not what I'm saying.
Yeah, go and hate Luke.
My point is, you know, that of, I don't believe Lewis is worth as much as he was perhaps 4 years ago, naturally, not based on performance or anything, just age.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that one. I just think...
Because this is the sort of age where we are going to see drop-offs. So if there is a drop-off coming, Mercedes are going to have a very expensive, not world championship quality driver anymore.
They'll make that money back in merch anyway.
Yeah,
easy.
Perhaps they will.
Easy.
But I don't know. Let me know what you think. I hope you understand my point.
Okay.
I think, you know, as I said, if you're going to invest £70 million a year into any driver, it is going to be Lewis Hamilton. Maybe now the other driver as well, Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
So I do get it.
Max's next contract will be a bumper one.
Oh, it's going to be insane. I mean, if he wins this year, I mean, surely he's going to be demanding more cash. I'd be going in at 100.
Yeah. And it's rightly deserved. It would be fully deserved. Qualifying. Have you heard that F1 are trialing a new qualifying format?
I think, someone told me, wasn't it? Yeah. It might have been you. I can't remember. Someone told me, though.
It might have been me. So the new rule will see teams forced to run on certain tyre compounds during each segment of qualifying at two events next season. So this is only for two events next year. So what this means, competitors will be forced to use a hard tyre in Q1, medium tyre in Q2, and soft tyre in Q3. This system moves away from the current rule where drivers can make the decision themselves over which compound to use. So, an FIA statement read, "This will be done to evaluate the impact of the reduction in tyre allocation on track running, with the overall intentions to move to more sustainable use of tyre in the future." Mm. Pirelli bosses also backs a new plan, suggesting teams would save a lot of tyres under the proposal. If you allocate two sets of hards for Q1, two sets of mediums for Q2, and two sets of softs for Q3, you will have six sets for the race. That's perfect. We save a lot of tyres with that, without disrupting the F1 show. The new regulations will be the first real change to the three-part qualifying arrangement since the FIA last tampered with it back in 2016.
Well, that's not true. Because we just saw the, kind of way they, you know, you'd have to start on the tyres that you... Yeah, I know, no, that's not really qualifying.
But you've got to remember that back in 2016, you were basically eliminated, weren't you? So if you're the slowest at that point in time or whatever, you got eliminated.
I just, from a racing perspective, this just, is pointless. But I guess...
Do you think? See, I think this is quite interesting.
I think it's really good from the environmental perspective. Like, that completely makes sense. You're having to produce less tyres. You're saving tyres. It's good for the planet and whatnot. Like, I can back that. I don't really... From a racing perspective, it is just a bit pointless. What does it change? All the cars are exactly the same speed. They're just all going to be slower on hard tyres. And then they're all going to be a little bit quicker on mediums. And then they're all going to be a little bit quicker on softs.
Yeah, but I kind of like that. Because some cars do really well with... being on hards, for example. Some do well with mediums, some last better well with softs. So you're gonna, not every car goes out on, you know, yeah. look at some cars when they go out on hards, it's like they're on ice. Do you know what I mean? They take a while.
Granted, it is gonna bring in that element.
It's gonna bring a different dynamic
where you get the sort of fire up, who can fire up their tires. But in Q3, you've got so much time, they'll be able to do X amount of outlaps or warm-up laps to get the heat into the tyres. And
yeah, but I just you haven't seen that this year, though. People put new hot softs on and they do one lap and then they go for the quickest. And after that, you see them start to go off.
Yeah, because it's easy to get temp into the softs.
Yeah.
But with hards, if you know, Q3, you've got the longest amount of time. Just go out, do two, three laps. Bang.
But you've got to remember, we don't know what these compounds are going to be like this year. So,
no,
you know,
agreed, but that, you know, then I just don't think it will make too much difference because everyone is going to be slower. Everyone is out on hards and then everyone is out on mediums. So it's just, it's all relative.
But it makes it fairer across the board.
No, it doesn't because everyone goes out on the tyres that they want to at the moment anyway.
Yeah, well, no.
Everyone's got the same choice. It wouldn't be fair if, only Red Bull get to use the soft tyres.
Yeah.
But, it's fair now.
Well, I think it'll make the race in more interesting because they'll have more sets of tyres. Some people might have more softs, for example. Well, people will have more softs.
So they have to use all six compounds. So they're given six tyres, right? for quali. They give it.
So if you allocate two sets of hards for Q1, two sets for Q2, two sets for Q3. Yeah.
Yeah. And those six sets are used in the race as well.
You will still have six sets for the race. So you have
another six set.
Yeah.
Set of six.
Set of six.
Yeah. So it doesn't really change the race.
Well, environmentally, it's very good, isn't it?
Environmentally, yeah, it makes sense. But I was just trying
to put a positive on this.
I understand it from that perspective. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here. Let me know down below what you think. But I personally don't think that changes anything. I still miss the rule from last season where you had to start on
this set of tyres, which you qualified on, which your fastest lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see what it's like. I don't know where they're going to put those in, though, and where that's going to come in. But I'm sure we'll keep you updated. Right, do you want a little quiz?
Your favourite time.
Quiz. Right, so heading into 2023 season, looking at the grid. So total laps completed by this year's grid in order. We'll just do the top 10. How many, all the drivers who are on the grid, who has completed the most amount of laps in their career?
Oh, Alonso.
Okay. Rough idea of how many?
Christ. I reckon like 21,000 or something.
19,153.
That's not a bad guess.
Nope. Right, who's in P2?
Lewis.
With 17,681. P3?
Checo.
Yeah, congratulations. P4.
Oh, God. Bottas.
Very good. P5? Oh, you won't get this one.
P5. Oh, God. I'm trying not to, like, pause for so long.
Yeah.
Because I know that I do that a lot during these quizzes, but I also want to get it right. I'm going to say Max Verstappen.
Hülkenberg.
Oh, you know, I did think him.
Yeah.
But I just thought, nah, I'll go Max.
P6?
Max.
Yeah. P7?
K-Mag.
Sainz.
Oh.
P8?
Leclerc.
K-Mag. P9. This one surprised me, actually, but here's what it is.
P9. Now I'm just going through the teams. Albon.
Stroll. Albon.
Albon. I forgot about Stroll. I forgot he even existed.
And P10.
Leclerc.
Ocon.
Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Ocon's actually been around for a while, hasn't
Ocon
he?
Has, yeah, yeah, he has. But I like that. I like that.
I can tell you who's lost.
Who?
Piastri.
And Logan Sargeant.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many laps they done?
None. And then I bet it's...
I haven't got the actual rest of them.
Nick De Vries. And then... then Guan Yu Zhou.
I literally haven't...
Where's Gasly on that list?
I don't know. I haven't got a list anymore. I only did the top 10.
Any more quizzes?
Nope, that is it.
Well, let us know how you did. Did you do as well as me? I feel like I did pretty well until we got to like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, you did. I'm just trying to see if I can get... No, I can't. You want to talk about who you think is going to do well in testing?
Not well in testing. This is my 2023 predictions, which I'm going to allow us both to change after testing.
Okay,
so we're going to... These are like preliminary predictions.
Okay.
And then come testing, we are given the opportunity to... amend our decisions.
Okay.
So, who is going to be the slowest car this season?
Williams.
I'd agree. Now, I'd like to think differently. I'd love for them to come out and actually you know, I'm not expecting wonders, but I'd like to be confident that they weren't going to finish last every race.
Yeah.
I just personally can't see how that's going to happen. Feel like the Haas was a weird car last year because some races it looked really quick, yeah, and some races it looked really bad, but I don't think it ever looked worse than the Williams.
No, nowhere near.
The Aston Martin, that was, in my opinion, heading in the right direction.
I think you're going to see Aston Martin started off really poor. But then you also look at McLaren at the beginning of last season, looked really poor, but they brought it back.
This is the thing. I think the midfield is going to get quite exciting this season because I think Aston Martin are going to make some strides.
Yeah.
They've now got Fernando Alonso. I know they had Sebastian Vettel, but we've given our opinion on that where we think at this point in time, Alonso brings more because he seems to have more drive for the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, McLaren, they're going to be heading in the right direction. They've got now an exciting, young, fresh team. Alpine, we're already heading well in the right direction. If they can get their car to not blow up, they're going to be strong, especially bringing Gasly into the mix.
That was the biggest thing last year. That's what let them down, is they were just unreliable.
Yeah, that reliability was shocking. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, are we going to see Haas moving in the right direction? I personally don't think so.
No.
Alfa Romeo, can't really see too much
there. No, I can't see. I can't see them really improving. I think they'll be around where they finish this year.
You know what we actually did forget to touch on? Sorry. It's only because I'm thinking Williams now are going to be the slowest car, but they've actually got a new team principal.
Yeah.
Who we haven't discussed.
Didn't we?
No.
That's where we did last time. Oh, no, maybe we didn't.
It wasn't announced last time. It was announced earlier this month.
All right. Who is it?
James Vowles.
I'm quite excited about it. I think he'll do all right.
Yeah, I think. I personally think Mercedes need a braver strategist. I feel like now they're not at the front. They were too safe last year.
I just think what's interesting, he's going there. Do I think he's going to make... Do I think Williams are going to improve massively this season? No. I think it is a team that...
Is well behind.
Yeah, yeah. Then I can't see them getting anywhere near. I think they might be... I can't see improving massively.
No.
I think with the addition of Hülkenberg... I like him.
It's not like a level up though, is it? It's not like
no.
I'm trying to think of like a good example. It's when Perez came in, and you know Albon left. You're like, oh, okay, this is, you know, that's a real exciting push in the right direction. Yeah. Perez had obviously been in the sport for a while, but that season in the Force India. It wasn't Force India. What was it? Racing Point.
Mm.
He was really good that season. Obviously won the Sakhir Grand Prix coming from P20 to P1. So that was like an exciting move.
Yeah.
This Mick leaving and Hülkenberg coming in, there's no real excitement there.
No. And I think I don't look at the team and go, yeah. What are they going to go places?
Yeah.
Logan Sargeant, do I think he's going to come in and do well at Williams? I have reservations, in all honesty. I think he didn't really set... I mean, yes, okay, he did all right in F2, but it took him to the literally last race to get his super license points. And do I think he has what it takes in his first season to deliver? I personally don't.
It does seem like a gamble. But, yeah, I mean, they've got a new team principal. It's got a great deal of experience at the most successful team in the last 10 years. So, they're ambitious.
I hope he does well. I do hope he does well.
Yeah, and we like Williams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're an iconic team. So, I hope they can step their game up. It's not nice having one team that is so, like, poor.
No, you want them to be competitive, don't you? You want your teams to be competitive. What was that?
That sounded like a cat.
It did, didn't it? Okay, so this you started going through this, didn't you? So you think Williams would be the worst performing car. Who would be the best performing car at testing?
Oh, in testing specifically?
In testing specifically.
I think Ferrari, but that's because I think Red Bull are going to hold back a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say Ferrari. I think Ferrari aren't very good at being tactical when it comes to showing performance.
I feel like Ferrari get too excited.
Ferrari will want to show straight away, here we are, this is what we're going to show you, this is what we're going to deliver.
I also think part of that is the pressure that they have from the fans. They've got such an intense fan base. I feel like they almost feel like we can't even run the risk of like making the car a little bit stinky just because the fans will be straight on them.
No, I agree.
Whereas I think if Mercedes came out slow, you'd sort of be like, oh, they're just sandbagging anyway. Like, they're used to it.
And then you get into November, then you realise that they're not sandbagging.
They're not.
No. And it's just pure disappointment.
I think Red Bull will definitely hold a little bit back. And then you'll probably have Christian Horner saying, like, well, you know, the wind tunnel time has affected us. And it hasn't. They'll come out in Bahrain.
And the issue is our chefs can't come because we can't pay the food.
Yeah, we can't have steak anymore. I think Red Bull come race day, Bahrain, will be the quickest car on the grid. I'm interested to see if Mercedes have made a jump. They obviously have said, we've got to the bottom of the issue. We know what it is. We've fixed it. And that had happened last season, but they had no money to develop the car further.
I think Alpine will be up there in testing.
Yeah, I do.
I think Mercedes will hold back a bit.
Agreed. I think Mercedes and Red Bull will hold back a little bit. Ferrari will show everything.
Yeah.
So I am expecting Ferrari to be, the quickest car. Williams to be the slowest. I think it will be Williams, Alfa Romeo, Haas. See, and I get excited about the midfield thinking about it. I think Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Then McLaren and Alpine, I do think, are going to be close because I think
McLaren will struggle like they did last year at the beginning of the season.
I think McLaren have the better driving lineup.
I don't know. I think Ocon is, for me, and I don't know if you agree, Ocon is a very exciting driver.
Yeah, I think he's good.
I think he's a very exciting driver and he has a lot of promise. And I don't know what it is. No one really speaks about Ocon and goes, oh yeah, I love watching him. But I don't know, whenever I've watched him, I always think, okay, yeah, I like what he does. Do I think McLaren have the better driver lineup? So
put the four in a pool, right? Lando Norris is the best driver.
Yeah.
That doesn't require any thinking for me. To me, if out of those four drivers, instantly I'm like, okay, Lando's the best.
Who's won a race?
Yeah, okay, circumstantially though.
He held off Vettel.
In an Aston Martin.
In an Aston Martin, which were not too bad in that season. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying.
Yeah, but the Alpine also wasn't that bad.
Okay. No. I'm not saying. I think Lando, yes, is just a better driver. Yes. Okay. Granted. But you can't write off someone like Ocon in the sense of he's already a race winner.
I'm certainly not writing him off.
No,
I'm
but
just saying
if you're
that.
Looking at a pool, I would say Lando and Ocon. If you had to pick a pairing.
Ooh.
So you're picking Piastri because of how exciting he is. He's a youngster coming into sport.
Yeah, I think Piastri is going to be good.
Oh, I think he's going to be good. But if you had a driver pairing and you put them in front of you and you go, okay, well, he's won a race. Lando's my
one,
boy.
One is more safe than the other. Okay, I agree. The Ocon-Gasly pairing is a safe pairing. And by safe, I also don't mean bad or boring. It's a very good...
And do you know what the funny thing
very
is?
Very good, actually, safe option.
Actually, I just thought about this. Both have won races in that Alpine. I forgot Gasly won a race.
Well, but Gasly won it, obviously, at AlphaTauri.
No, but that's what I mean. They're both race winners.
Yeah, no, they are both race winners.
More than Lando in a McLaren.
But you have to bear in mind, both those wins, okay, and this does not discredit anything from the wins. Both of those wins were technicalities in the sense that things went on in the race which led to that happening.
Yeah.
And you got to take your opportunities. They took them. Gasly obviously got pressured to the finish line by Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
Ocon the same by Seb. Lando has been more consistently competing with the top guys. And I think he has consistently outperformed that car. I think Fernando Alonso, I know the points don't represent it, but Fernando Alonso for me last season was the better Alpine driver. Gasly didn't have a great season.
Oh, no.
AlphaTauri generally didn't. And I just think McLaren are going to have the better pairing.
Okay. Comment down below, right? So
maybe that can be our bet for this season. I bet McLaren are going to score more points than Alpine.
Okay. I think Alpine is going to score more points than McLaren.
What does the loser have to do?
Get a tattoo.
Why is it always a tattoo? We've done that.
Yeah, I know, but I can't think
you
of
anything. You just want me to get one.
Yeah.
We'll think of something. Let us know if you've got any ideas. But I think McLaren are going to outperform Alpine. I do believe that they've got the better driver pairing. And that's not by... I don't believe it's by a landslide or anything. I think Alpine also have a really good driver partnership. But for me, my money's on McLaren.
Okay. So if you're comment down below, right? All right, let's do this. If you had a choice of four drivers, you've got Lando Norris, you've got Piastri, Ocon, and Gasly. You've got those four drivers. If you were a team principal, what driver pairing would you do out of those four?
All I'm going to say is that 99% of you are going to pick Lando first, because that, to me, is the obvious choice.
And give us a reason why. Comment and give us a reason why. It's an interesting one. That's a good question, actually. I'd be quite interested to see what other people say.
Yeah, get involved.
Yeah. What else? What else we got to talk about?
Do you think Mercedes will be able to move up from the third quickest team? Are they going to be able to get into that second place? Or maybe even the fastest car? Are we going to see Mercedes maybe push that spending limit based on the punishment Red Bull got? Are Mercedes going to be like...
I don't think they're that petty. I think they'll stick by the rules.
Is it petty, or is it just, well, why wouldn't we? We have to pay a little fine and then sacrifice some time in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, but I think it wouldn't be that same fine, because I think the FIA would turn around and go, do you know what? We discussed this last year. We laid the rules. Different circumstances. You're going to be stuck with a bigger punishment.
What, so Mercedes spend 10 mil on cheese sarnies and all of a sudden they get a worse penalty?
Yeah, but because that in theory, that was the first season.
Yeah, but in theory, the precedent has been set now.
It has been set. I just don't think there'd be any consistency with that in the rule. But do I think they're going to try and break the rules? No, I think they'll just stick to their limit. And that's what I think they'll do. But do I also think that Mercedes will go past third place? I want to hope so. I just have a feeling Ferrari are going to be a lot stronger and Red Bull are still going to be there. And I it pains me to say, but I don't think Mercedes are going to be in that top two team.
Yeah, I don't think they can close the gap up. I do think what we are going to see, though, is more variation at tracks. Okay, Ferrari are going to be the quickest at this track. And then Red Bull are going to be the quickest at this track.
Actually,
the Mercedes are going to be faster at this track.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more of that. I still think the Red Bull is going to be typically the quickest car.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see what Ferrari have said, what Ferrari have done because of what has been said about them.
Yeah, I agree.
And Mercedes, like we say, have claimed to have solved their problem.
Yep.
So let's see.
No, I agree. All I know is it's going to be a very exciting season.
So just very quickly, just to lock it in. Go 1 to 10 for me.
For
the Constructors' Championship, how is it looking?
Constructors, okay.
At the end of the season.
Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, Alpine, McLaren, Aston Martin. Alfa Romeo. Alpha Tauri, Haas, Williams.
Okay, I'm going Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, Alpine, Aston Martin, Haas, Alpha Tauri, Williams.
Do you say Alfa Romeo?
Alfa Romeo will be just above Alfa Tauri.
Okay. Interesting. Let us know. Comment down below. What is your top 10 for the constructors?
And we are going to revise this after pre-season testing.
Yeah. We'll try and get an edit of what we say. And we put it up and what we think of pre. Also, our Instagram is going to look a lot more smarter this year. So
A lot more smarter.
But I think that's the end of the podcast.
Yes.
It's good to be back. I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have, and you're watching on YouTube, hit a like, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave a rating. We really appreciate it. And we're going to be back soon.
Yeah, and to confirm, they won't normally be this long.
No.
We just had a lot to talk about. And when we're back weekly, you know, they'll be back to their normal length.
Yes. Of an hour and 25 minutes. No. But we'll be back soon. Take care, have a good week, and bye-bye.